On our morning show get together today from WRCO, we welcome back our good friend Evan Ewing, public health specialist with Richland County Health and Human Services, here to chat with us a little bit. How you doing, Evan?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Phil.
Your visit is quite timely here. Was this by accident that you happened to fall into our studio's public health week going on this week?
Yeah, I didn't. When we booked this, I wasn't aware. But usually, yeah, it's the first week of April, the first full week. So this year it's April 7th to the 13th. This is generally a time annually to recognize the work that public health professionals do to really keep the community safe and protect from illness and disease. And unfortunately, public health is thrown in the spotlight when something bad is going on, like a pandemic. So a lot of the work we do kind of goes under the radar behind the scenes. So I just wanted to just quickly shout out our public health professionals at our department. Brandon Anderson, our health officer, Brandon Alexander, our public health specialist, and then Betty Nye, our public health nurse. So I just wanted to recognize them and all the great work that they do.
It's a team effort.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's kind of all hands on deck with our unit. We're kind of a smaller unit in comparison to some other health departments out there.
Yeah, you're right. I think when there's something going on, obviously, hopefully we never live through another pandemic. But I mean, when things are going well, you kind of fly under the radar, don't you?
Yeah. And that's kind of, when we look at our annual report, we want to actually see, numbers decrease in, things like communicable disease. So not really headline catching type things. But yeah, so hopefully we kind of go under the radar and just put our heads down and do the work.
Absolutely. I know some of the things you want to talk about, mental health, that's always kind of first and foremost, isn't it?
Yeah. So as you know, within our Community Health Improvement Plan, or CHIP, that I've talked about here on the show before, mental health is one of our two priority areas that were identified by the community. So I'm a member of the RCC-FAC, which is the Richland County Children and Family Advocacy Council. And each year in May, we do some promotion and awareness raising for Mental Health Month. So this year, we're going to be sharing some Mental Health Matters window clings. And I actually brought one in today that I can leave with you here, Phil. But
nice.
Those are going to be shared with local businesses, along with some mental health education, really trying to encourage local businesses to provide a mental health friendly workplace. And so people going into the businesses too will see that window cling and kind of know that they're on board with that and aware of that. Really, it's an effort to try to decrease mental health stigma within that workplace culture. So we're going to be sharing that with businesses, hopefully here coming up in May. And then usually we also put out some informational trifolds and resources. I think last year we did that at the Brewer Public Library, along with Health and Human Services, and then I believe the Phoenix Center as well. So those are some things to kind of keep an eye out for as we go into May.
What are some things a business can do to be like a little bit more mental health friendly?
Yes, actually promoting pretty flexible work schedules, kind of giving employees a little bit more autonomy with that can be beneficial. But I think, even being open to having those conversations, I think there's a lot of stigma around mental health where people just don't really seek the treatment that they may need, and they might not feel like their employer is supportive of seeking that treatment. And so even just having those conversations, sharing those resources with your staff can be helpful. Within the document that I'm going to share with businesses, there's a QR code link that takes you to a toolkit that helps employers sort of implement these things into their workplace to try to shift that culture to be more positive around mental health.
I know that you have some work groups as well. What can you tell us about those?
Yeah, so our CHIP mental health work group meets one time per month, and usually it's at the end of the month. There's just so many meetings in the community that people are involved in, so it's difficult sometimes to find that landing point for everyone. But we meet every every month toward the end of the month, and we're really trying to work with businesses to share that information and share those resources. When we did our kickoff meeting back last year in May, it was sort of identified that the larger businesses have employee assistance programs, which can help people, link them to the care that they need through their employer. But, if you're a small business, you might not have that capability to offer that to your employees. So that was sort of identified within our first kickoff meeting. And so we wanted to try to assess businesses to see are they offering, you know, their employees resources, and really how can we help? Another thing that we're actually going to do this May, kind of in line with Mental Health Month as well, we actually partnered up with the Walk Around the World with Grace, and I just wanted to give a thanks to Leif Carlson, who facilitates that program. Leif graciously allowed us to share some mental health related content to his email list of participants each week, and that will be done each week throughout the month of May. So some of the topics that we're going to send out information on are going to be physical activity and mental health, mindfulness, stress reduction, and then local mental health resources. So I know I think they were on the show fairly recently, but if you're not familiar with the Walk Around the World with Grace, it's a great program, which I would encourage anyone listening to check it out. You can go to walkwithgrace.com. You can get registered. Basically, you track your physical activity. It doesn't have to just be walking. And then you track what you accumulate throughout the week, and kind of in hopes that the total mileage will take the group around the world. So you can join anytime, and that wraps up at the end of July. So we're going to be our work group. All the document, all the content that we created was approved by the work group and then sent to Leif. So he's going to distribute those throughout May. So
I think that's really important. I think that's good that you co-op with Grace, because they're so important for our community.
Yeah, and we kind of had ideas to offer a community physical activity program, and then kind of in planning, we're like, well, there's already one going on that's great, and they have a good list of participants, and seems like people are engaged with it, so we thought that would be a good opportunity to collab with them and share that information.
Our community has several events that you can get involved in. I know National Night Out has one. There's normally one around Kellerfest. Simon's Recreation Complex kind of gets involved with that too, so very important for the community.
Yeah, no doubt. Some of the other stuff that our work group's doing too, just want to mention this. We're going to be trying to offer some Make It Okay presentations this year. So one of our strategies for community change is to engage people in the community and offer trainings on mental health. And so our work group decided collaboratively that the Make It Okay campaign and presentation would be appropriate for the community. And so this really aims to address mental health stigma, which was identified within our CHIP as a causal factor for poor mental health. And the mission of Make It Okay is to change attitudes about mental health and champion a commitment to mental well-being for all. So if your workplace is interested in having me provide one of those presentations, you know, maybe for example, as like a lunch and learn, you know, that kind of thing, just let me know. I'd be happy to offer that when I complete the ambassador training in May. So they only offer those trainings a few times per year, and I just missed the January one. So I'm scheduled to do the May one. And so once I complete that, I can work with your business and hopefully be able to offer that. And our work group's discussing the opportunity or the possibility of maybe even offering a community-wide event where we would provide that training as well. So if you're, I guess kind of just to summarize the mental health work group, if you're a business that in Richland County that doesn't provide any mental health resources for your staff, you know, please contact me and I'd be happy to get you some resources. And I think we could work together to sort of shift that workplace culture. So you could reach me at Health and Human Services, just ask for Evan and I'd be happy to help you out.
Can you talk about the significance of the title, Make It Okay?
Yeah, it's to make those conversations around mental health more common, I guess. I would kind of say making it okay to talk about mental health. It's often stigmatized to talk about that. I think we kind of have, you may hear words like, oh, this person's crazy, or, you know, just those kind of derogatory terms around mental health. So this is sort of aimed at shifting that to more of a positive, you know, we look at things like cancer, and we classify people battling cancer as warriors, and there's those terms associated with that. Mental health and mental illness is, you know, it's still an illness as well. And so there's often these derogatory terms associated with people that are battling mental illness. So it's really trying to kind of shift that more of a positive outlook on that.
That's such a tough thing too, because you don't know what someone else is going through.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, you might only interact with somebody for, you know, 2 minutes out of their day, and they might be the worst part of their day, and they might be really going through it. And so I think just having some empathy toward others that might be going through something like that is right. always good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough sometimes to, you know, unfortunately we make judgments if somebody, you don't have a good confrontation with somebody, you know, and you're thinking, you know, but you don't always know what's happening behind the scenes, do you?
No, that's where I think this training and, well, the presentation, I think, is helpful in kind of reframing your mind around that.
Very valuable. Yeah, certainly physical activity, the two kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
Yeah, no, for sure. And with our CHIP, we have the two priority areas that were identified for the county, so mental health and then substance misuse. A third priority area that was identified within our most recent community health assessment is physical activity, obesity and overweight and obesity. And we weren't able to include that in the county's CHIP, but the hospital did leave that one in their community health improvement plan. So physical activity is a very important protective factor for chronic disease. And so a protective factor is can be defined as characteristics associated with a lower likelihood of negative outcomes or something that reduces a risk factor's impact. And I think a lot of people think of physical activity and exercise as being kind of the same thing. But physical activity is a more broader term that encompasses any bodily movement that produces energy expenditure. And then exercise is planned and structured physical activity. So, you know, when we think of like the Walk Around the World with Grace program and tracking your physical activity, that could be other things that don't include walking or what is traditionally defined as exercise. So that could be things like, you know, dancing or, you know, if your heart rate's elevated, those kind of things can classify as physical activity. But that can be a protective factor for chronic diseases like obesity, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and a lot more. When you look at our community health assessment data, it seems like a lot of Richland County residents are aware of the benefits that physical activity can provide. We saw that nearly half of the respondents of the survey identified exercise and physical activity as a screening or service they felt would improve their health or the health of their family. However, we saw that nearly 45% of respondents identified overweight and obesity as a health issue that they face. So we see people that are self-reporting struggling with overweight and obesity. They know that exercise and physical activity is something that would benefit their health and well-being. So kind of where's that disconnect? Why are people not engaging in physical activity? And I think sometimes that challenge is just getting started. There's sort of, I don't know if you're familiar with the term analysis paralysis, where there's just so many different inputs, especially with the internet now and social media and all these different things, that people are sort of inundated with all this information that it's just overwhelming, and then they don't start at all. So I think that can be a challenge for some people.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, a lot of times you have the New Year's resolution, and mm-hmm. I think the average day where those get thrown out the window is like January 13th or something, unfortunately, yeah. You know, but you look at making those goals. But I think right now is a good time to start looking at that as the weather is better and, you know, maybe get out and move a little bit at night, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think if you're listening and you feel like, you know, kind of what I described is resonating with you, I thought it might be helpful, you know, today to share some of the physical activity guidelines, just to sort of paint a clear picture or a simplified picture of what you can do to just meet the general recommendations for healthy adults. Each person is unique, so I just put in this caveat to consult with your doctor before beginning any, you know, new exercise regimen, but so for the guidelines, we have aerobic physical activity, which I think people would know as cardiovascular training or cardio, and then you have muscle strengthening. And so that's kind of how we break up the recommendations. So the general aerobic recommendation is 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic activity per week. And so this would be an example would be like brisk walking. And you could break that 150 minutes up. The most common example is 30 minutes per day, five times per week. That's kind of the example that's thrown around most often. And when I say moderate intensity, this would be where you could talk while you're doing the activity, but you wouldn't be able to sing. And so, you know, wearables right now, heart rate trackers make it easy to track your heart rate and intensity. But if you don't have a wearable, you can use the talk test. And so basically moderate would be kind of where you could, you can still talk, but it's a little bit too difficult to sing when you're doing it.
Can you sing if you sing off key or?
Yeah, maybe. do your best. Yeah.
If you can't sing to begin with, it's kind of hard.
No, for sure. But you could also engage in vigorous intensity activity as well. So this would be, you know, it's more intense so that duration recommendation becomes a little bit lower. And so that would be an example of a vigorous intensity aerobic activity would be like running. And the recommended time for that would be 75 minutes per week. And so measuring intensity for this level would be where you're not able to say more than a few words without pausing for breath. So it's a little bit more challenging. And you can do a mix of both of those activities. It's not like, you know, I'm going to pick moderate and I have to do this much. And so there's differences to that as well. So that would be the recommendation for the aerobic activity. And then there's muscle strengthening activities as well that are recommended on two or more days per week. And those would be activities that work all of your major muscle groups. So this would include things like body weight exercises, you know, weightlifting, Pilates, even some types of yoga would fall under that. These become especially important as we age so that we're able to maintain strong bones and to really maintain general muscular strength to perform daily activities. If you do more than the recommendations that I described, that's totally fine. That's great. This is just kind of a general recommendation for most healthy adults.
When you break it down, and you said, you know, it's for moderate, 30 minutes, 5 days a week. It doesn't sound as daunting, Evan.
Yeah. And that's kind of the good way. I mean, you hear 150 minutes, you're like, oh man, that's quite
a
bit.
A lot.
But yeah, you can break that up certainly throughout the days of the week. There's actually a great tool that can be really helpful in getting started. And this is offered through the Department of Health and Human Services, their Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion. And this tool is called Move Your Way. If you just type that in on Google, it'll come up as a .gov website. And I think they have an interactive app as well that you can download. But this is a great tool in getting started. Essentially, the tool allows you to build your own weekly plan. And you select sort of your reason for beginning physical activity, like be healthier, have fun, more energy, ease pain. Those things are listed and you can select those. And then you can pick if you want to engage in activities by yourself, with your family. They even have an option for while you're taking care of a baby. And then they let you choose if you'd like to engage in activities outdoors or indoors. And these, you're sort of sifting through or filtering out what activities would be best for your preferences. It then provides you with this selection of different activities that fall within aerobic activity or muscle strengthening. And as a user, you can select the activities that you want to engage in, and then you pick the duration. And on the top right, and when you're looking at the tool, it actually has these bars. They sort of gamify the tool where you can fill up these bars to meet the recommendations that I just described. And they include a whole bunch of different activities, like, you know, even gardening could be considered muscle strengthening if you're carrying, you know, buckets of, you know, dirt or soil, those kind of things. So it's really cool. It provides this large selection of activities that you can pick. And then it provides you with this printable tracker that shows your goals and the activities that you selected. So throughout the week, you can kind of fill out as you complete those. So it really, it's a useful free tool that helps you meet those physical activity recommendations that I described. So, and it's through a government website, so it's, you know, credible and all of that too, so.
Yeah, we all move differently, and you know, sometimes you know somebody's going to get a lot of activity walking on the treadmill. But if we're doing something, feel like we're accomplishing something, you know, carrying water to the garden or whatever the case might be, that's good for whoever can, you know, do that. Maybe gardening, it's that time of year to start thinking about that, right?
Yeah, I think it's a good way to kind of reframe your idea or your perception around exercise. I think a lot of people, when you mention New Year's, it's like, oh, I need to get a gym membership and I have to walk on the treadmill. But I don't like walking on the treadmill. So, you know, that's when people end up kind of failing those goals. And that's the the cool thing about the recommendations is that you can really create this plan that works best for you and your lifestyle. When you think about consistency, the activity that you engage in should be somewhat enjoyable. Otherwise, you're not going to continue doing it, and you should be able to progress and build on it over time. Even if you're completely sedentary, even, you know, a 5 or 10 minute consecutive bout of walking can provide some health benefits. For example, maybe you start with, if you're completely sedentary now, maybe you just start with movement goals. I know the Apple Watch has a recommendation or a goal to hit of standing at least one time per hour, 12 hours per day. So maybe that's your goal to start. Or maybe it's doing a morning stretch routine. It's not, you don't even have to go to the gym. It's just doing something. All these activities can be built on over time, and those successes week in and week out will help build your confidence over time as well. And you'll become, just more confident in your ability to carry out those activities. It's also helpful to address any potential barriers or challenges that you could see yourself facing as you adopt that new healthy habit. So an example of this would be if you know it's challenging for you to exercise after going home after work. So maybe you're one of those people where once I'm home, I don't want to leave at all. So it would be smart for, if that's you, to, you know, pack some exercise clothes, go straight to the gym, or maybe you pack a set of walking shoes and you just walk around, you know, your office or wherever, whatever your work setting is before you go home. Anticipating those barriers and having actions ready to address them can kind of fail-proof your plan when you're starting. And just in general, I would say most people don't care about achieving lofty gym-related goals like being bodybuilders or running marathons, but I think most people just want to be healthy so they can do the things that they love with the people they love for as long as possible. And I think those guidelines really help just simplify that. And it just gives you something to kind of aim for.
Yeah, I think it's important, too, to kind of start out at a small pace and work your way up, because sometimes we tend to go out and I'm going to walk 5 miles and I haven't walked for a while, you know, and all of a sudden you're sore for a few days. So
yeah.
Taper, I guess, right?
In and out. Yeah, those things can really throw you off if you end up getting injured because you're going too hard out the gate. Those are things to definitely be aware of.
Other tips or anything else you can give us in terms of working out and getting better physical activity right now?
Yeah, I think, you know, just when I used to work with, I used to be a health coach and personal trainer, and I would always work with my clients to try to pick kind of what's the bare minimum amount of days that you would, like on your ideal week, it might be going 7 days per week or working out 7 days per week. But on your worst week, what's kind of the bare minimum you think you would want to do? And they might say 2 days. And so we would start with, let's start with 2 days and sort of build that confidence up. If you do more than that, that's awesome. But we don't want to have people failing right away because they're trying to bite off kind of more than they can chew right away. So just be graceful with yourself, you know, don't be too hard on yourself, and kind of just keep your body moving in ways that bring joy to you. And I think that's kind of a simple way to look at it.
I think the same thing goes if you're trying to reduce weight. You have a goal, but if you don't lose 10 pounds the first couple of weeks, you shouldn't be sad,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, I just, as long as you're feeling consistent and, you know, feeling good about the things that you're doing, try not to be too hard on yourself.
We'll talk about getting outside and some other things going on here in the good weather we're going to be having here in the next few months. Evan Ewing is our guest, and we'll talk more about some opportunities for us here, courtesy of Richland County Health and Human Services on The Morning Show. It is Public Health Week this week, and a timely visit from our guest, Evan Ewing, here on The Morning Show from WRCO Radio. We're getting out, and we're walking a little bit more in the great outdoors these days, Evan, and another concern in this part of the country, Lyme disease. And
yeah,
that was pretty prevalent, it seemed like, last year.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, they're going to be out in full force very soon. I think, I believe the Wisconsin DHS does tick drags in the spring, and I think they've already found some out this year. So like you mentioned, for Richland County and Lyme disease, some of the data from this 2023 Richland County Environmental Health Profile This is from the Wisconsin Environmental Public Health Tracking Program. We saw the rate of Lyme per 100,000 people in Richland County at 99, which is significantly greater than that rate for the state of Wisconsin, which is 37 per 100,000 people. So definitely is a kind of a unique issue, I would say, with Richland County. When we look at other tick-borne diseases like ehrlichiosis and anaplasmosis, especially within Richland County from 2023 to 2024, within our annual report, we saw a six-fold increase in 2024. So I thought that data provided some ample rationale to ramp up our tick bite prevention efforts this year. So we're actually rolling out a tick bite prevention campaign called Tick Free RC. And so Tick Free Richland County, we're hoping to share a lot of tick bite prevention information with the community this spring and summer. So I could talk about some of the efforts that we're doing with that.
Please do. I think we need to know.
Yeah. So one thing that I'm trying to do new this year is to work with all the locations in the county that provide fish licenses, just to see if they're going to be willing to dispense. We have a tick safety guide from Wisconsin DHS that's folds up into like a wallet card. And I think when they give the fish licenses, they even have them in those little holders. So we're trying to work with some of those locations to distribute those. I remember going out fishing with my dad when I was younger, and you know, we'd have to wade through some pretty tall grass to get to those good fishing holes. So I thought this would be kind of a good opportunity upstream, pun intended, to hopefully equip everyone with the information they need to prevent those bites. So trying to think outside of the box of some of the traditional promotion avenues, and trying to think about what are environments where people will encounter ticks, and then trying to provide that information before those people would go into those environments. Some of the more traditional things that we've done as well, provided some bookmarks and other tick bite prevention information to local libraries. So so far I've distributed information to the Brewer Public Library here in Richland Center, and then the Lone Rock Library. Have others that I'm aiming to kind of get out to as well, and have some other promotion ideas in mind. So just keep your eyes out in Richland County for some of that tick-free RC information, especially throughout the spring and summer.
Tuck your pants in your socks, right?
Yeah. There's, I have a whole bunch of prevention things.
It may not look very cool, but it might be the job, right?
I know. I think of obviously if you're out, and I think if I take my daughter sometimes to the park at the playground at the old middle school, and obviously out there it's wide open grass, there's bark in that area as well. It's a pretty low likelihood of encountering a tick in that environment. So you could probably get away with wearing, shorts and a t-shirt there. But if you're going, deep into the woods or some really tall grass, that's where, tucking your shirt into your pants and then your pants into your socks, wearing light colored clothing too can be beneficial.
Right. It's not necessarily for looks.
You don't want to, end up getting anaplasmosis with 104 degree fever and body aches and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, just taking those simple prevention measures can be helpful. I think one of the best prevention methods that you can utilize is tick checks. So I'd recommend building those into your spring and summer routines. Anytime really that you've been outdoors, but like I described, obviously if it's at a park that's pretty flat, short grass, well maintained, maybe less likelihood. But if you've been in a tick environment, definitely good to perform those tick checks. You could do that maybe right when you get to your vehicle before driving home, and then once more maybe before you jump in the shower, which kind of leads to another prevention tip, which would be to shower after being outdoors. This would wash off any ticks that may have hitched a ride with you. Ticks in the nymph stage of their life are pretty small, like as small as they can be like a poppy seed or pinhead, and they can carry disease at that life stage. So you might not catch them on first glance, but being in the shower, that might wash off those smaller ones before they've bitten you. Those are some of the kind of general recommendations, tick checks, and then obviously bug repellents, staying on the trails, those kind of things can be helpful. Just general guidelines for tick bite prevention.
We've had kind of a couple of barren winters, not a lot of snow on the ground. Does that have an effect on ticks and when they start showing up?
I think so. Yeah. Especially if it's not, that frigid cold, I think they can, stay pretty much active. Maybe not all year, because I know it does get really cold in some of those months, like December and January. But I know last year in 2024, February, I think we had some, I can't remember if it was 70s, but I know it was pretty warm. And I think they came out pretty early last year. And I think that may have contributed to some of those higher numbers that we saw in 2024. So, yeah, I'd say they're definitely, they're probably out in full force pretty, like almost now, I would say. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing of it is, not every tick carries the disease. You know, that's kind of the scary thing too. Just because you find one on you doesn't mean you have it.
Correct. Yeah. Usually it's with black-legged ticks, the females carry the disease. So that's where on the tick safety guides, there's some identification information. So, you know, if you did find a male, the likelihood of disease would be a little bit lower, might give you some peace of mind with that if you did find one on you that was a male instead of female, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. More information available on the website?
I would say on DHS, mm-hmm. they have a Fight the Bite whole webpage where they share information there. So that would be a good place to look. One other thing, just kind of in general with pets and ticks, just wanted to mention too that pets can carry the ticks into your home, so it's important to check your pets too. If you do find a tick on your pet, just remove it as soon as possible. And the same would go for yourself. If you do find one on you, you want to remove that tick as quickly as possible. With diseases like Lyme, it takes about 24 hours for that to spread once the tick is embedded. So, you know, if you were outside 1 hour ago, you see a tick on you, you can remove it likely before it's transmitted any disease. And the same would go for your pets, just wanting to remove those as soon as possible. So good to check under your pets, like around their ears, eyelids, under their collar, the front legs, back legs, between toes and around their tail. And then just would recommend to talk to your animal's veterinarian about that. And just some general stuff about prevention of your yard, just kind of maintaining your yard can prevent ticks from entering your kind of your immediate environments. Just making sure you clear tall grass and brush, using wood chips or gravel as a barrier between your lawn and a wooded area can be helpful as well. When you mow your lawn, removing the cut grass, kind of keeping swing sets or places where you're going to be sitting kind of away from the wood line, those things can be beneficial as well. And just not feeding deer or having environments that are conducive to rodent activity can be helpful as well to just make sure you're not letting these animals bring ticks into your immediate environment.
Large item pickup in the city of Richland Center is coming up Saturday. It's a good time to start doing a little spring cleaning, Evan.
Yeah, no. Thanks for mentioning that. I think it's definitely a good time to get rid of some of those larger items that may be taking up space and initiate some of that spring cleaning. From a public health standpoint, accumulation of large items or just lots of items and belongings in general can create an environment that's conducive to the accumulation of vermin, so specifically mice, or in the case of food accumulation, cockroaches. And those are concerning because mice and roaches can carry disease. An example disease would be hantavirus, which can be fatal. And I don't really mention that to scare you, but more so to emphasize the importance of keeping a clean, pest-free environment. And the National Center for Healthy Housing, they created a list of principles for a healthy home. And some of those include, you know, keeping your home dry, so damp homes can create that nurturing environment for mites, roaches, rodents, mold. Keeping clean homes to reduce pest infestations. Kind of like we talked about with exercise, it might be beneficial to establish a regular cleaning schedule as well that works, you know, well with your weekly demands and commitments. Another thing is having excess pets can make it more challenging to keep your environment clean. I believe there's a city ordinance that states you cannot have more than 2 dogs within a residence. I don't know if there's one for cats, and I don't think there is, but definitely want to make sure that, you know, you're following that. If you have a large number of animals, it's just going to be harder to keep up with that cleaning. And then kind of more in line with the large item pickup, just important to keep floors clear of electrical cords and clutter. If you have tons of clutter that's blocking exits or adding excess weight to your floor, those would be some major concerns. You could imagine if you had a fire within your home and you can't exit the premises fast enough due to, you know, just piles of belongings or large items. You wouldn't you'd not only be putting yourself at danger, but also the first responders too. So just some tips for clearing that would be just to take one step at a time, remove those items over a long period of time, especially if that task seems kind of overwhelming at first. So, and if you have large items in your yard that are collecting water, those can be, you know, as it starts to rain more, those could be breeding grounds for mosquitoes. So that might be a good time to get rid of that stuff as well.
I know you've probably been on some home visits where you see some of those things that are concerning, like maybe an entertainment center that's kind of pushed out of the way. I mean, things that can be fall hazards and all kinds of things, right?
Yeah. There's a, if you're listening and you want some extra resources, just on home safety, which kind of sounds like what you're describing, the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, they have a great webpage that's full of environmental health resources. It's on the Wisconsin DHS webpage. If you click on prevention and healthy living and then environmental health, they have a section that's titled Keep Your Home Safe and Healthy. And they have tons of videos on there with information on fall prevention, controlling asthma triggers, radon testing, lead, and a lot more. They even have a home health, healthy home checklist that can be kind of a great guide for some of that spring cleaning as well, just to look it over and maybe what do I need to make my home a little bit more safe and get rid of those items that might be contributing to a hazard.
Indeed. Well, it's free of charge, and hopefully people in Richland Center will take advantage of it.
Yeah, for sure. I know there's some rules with it, but I think the City Public Works, I think their webpage has more information. I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I think they have all the info on that there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Follow along. Stuff has to be out by 6 o'clock Saturday morning, I think, by the way.
Okay.
So,
right on.
But we covered it pretty well. Principles of a healthy home. That's another good topic for you, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Just, keeping things, if you think of fires and even things like carbon monoxide detectors, and we talked about that the last time I was on, but just making sure all those things are in order, making sure you have outlet covers, some of those things that maybe might not be an immediate concern to yourself, but those are important to consider.
Good time of year to open up the windows and
yeah,
get
definitely
some air in there, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's been a long winter. I think everyone's kind of ready for the 60s and 70s and just get outside in the sun, open the windows, that kind of thing.
Anything else you'd like to talk about in terms of resources?
No, I think that covers it pretty well. Just really quickly with the Easter holiday approaching, just wanted to mention four just really quick tips on food safety. So if you're hosting for the Easter holiday, just make sure you clean, wash your hands often and surfaces too if you're preparing food. Important to separate your food. Don't cross-contaminate. You want to cook to the proper temperatures and check with a food thermometer. And then important to chill and refrigerate the perishable food items within 2 hours. So you don't want to let that food sit out for longer than that and eat it as bacteria can kind of grow there. So just some really quick hitting food safety tips for that Easter holiday coming up.
Yeah, that is coming up. It's late this year too.
Yeah, so. I know. I think it was the 31st of March last year. Yeah, I was like, man, we're due for it here in a couple of weeks.
We are. Are we kind of over the hump with all of the, it seemed like it was kind of a rough flu and cold and pneumonia and COVID and everything going on season.
Yeah, the flu, man, that was the one when you look at the respiratory report. I know when I was here in January, it was starting the steep climb and it kept going up even more after that in terms of positive cases. And it's definitely decreased now. I think when you look at the respiratory report, almost the entire state of Wisconsin is in the blue, which means we're below baseline now. So I think just more people being outside. I know, probably a lot of people got the flu, and so you build up that immunity as well. And I think we're hopefully past the worst of it. So, yeah, hopefully, fingers crossed that we're in the clear.
I can always judge by, covering sports teams, too. And I think they had a couple of different waves of it, kind of right at first and then just after January where we were seeing players out and teams decimated with, numbers and things like that.
Yeah, no doubt. I know COVID, I think, was the cases, I think, were higher in September this past fall. And so that didn't see as high of a spike in the wintertime. But flu was definitely, I think it was right around January, it started to kind of spike up. So I think we're hopefully in the clear now.
Well, hope so. Anything else you'd like to add today, Evan?
No, I think that covers it pretty well. If you're interested in joining any of the work groups that we have for the Community Health Improvement Plan, just call Health and Human Services. You can ask for Evan. I'd be happy to get you on that email list. We have our mental health work group, and then we also have the substance misuse priority area that we've partnered with the Partners for Prevention Coalition, and that's the alcohol work group. And so that work group also meets one time per month. So you could get a hold of myself or Betsy Raisler for joining the alcohol work group if you're interested.
Always good topical information. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Phil. I appreciate it.
You bet. Evan Ewing, public health specialist from Richland County Health and Human Services, with our report here today on Wednesday from WRCO's Morning Show.